Hello, hello, and welcome to the New York Mystery Machine. Tammany Hall, but for the ghosts. Okay, that's clearly not Christina, obviously. It's close, if we're being honest with ourselves. It is as close to Christina as one can be, I think. Christina's not in studio today. She's had a bit of a week. Christina and her husband, Ed, and their little baby, Tammany, made a big old move this past week, heading from Brooklyn to Queens, sadly. And so scheduling-wise, it's been a little hectic. And in addition to that, we got some awful, awful news. Christina's little cat, David, passed away, unfortunately. You know, us at the New York Mystery Machine, we love our little furry animals. So this was really awful, awful news. Like much like what happened to Tedbird almost a year ago, little David came down with a really aggressive cancer and left with it left Christina and her husband Ed with little options. And so we are sending all of our love to Christina, to Ed, to little baby Tammany, during these days. Christina and Ed were so good to me when Tedbird died last year, and so I know how they feel. It's awful. It's like literally losing a child. You guys who have pets, you guys know who've lost pets how awful it was. I literally just said to Christina a couple of days ago, it's hard to believe we both lost our little guys this year. And so we're sending Christina and Ed all of our love, all of our everything we muster up, all of our good vibes during this tough time. But we wanted to be able to still put out an episode this week, regardless, and we had the idea of doing a fun little 2023 review. So yes, it's a little bit of a clip show, but it is our best and favorite memories from this year podcasting with all of you in 2023. So we got together and pulled different moments from the show this past year, some funny moments, some exciting moments, and so we thought it'd be a fun little treat. This is not our final episode of the year. We will have another episode coming up next week and the following week. So there's two more episodes left of 2023, so worry not. But we figured, well, we shouldn't have an empty week. So we're going to have a little bit of a year in review after each few clips. I'll just come in and introduce what we're going to talk about. And so listen to the episode. We really enjoyed putting this together. There's a lot of fun memories that I kind of forgot. You release a bunch of episodes and you kind of forget the fun, crazy things that happened along the way. And we had a lot of like really just silly, funny moments that a lot of you messaged us about. We looked at a lot of our messages from you all and things that made you laugh and things that really stuck with you this year, and so we pulled those memories out, and so we're excited to get into it. But before we do, I do want to take a brief moment to also acknowledge the fact that right now it's just me in the studio. I am using our brand new microphones. That's right. Thanks to our patrons, the dream has happened. We have purchased new microphones. We're really excited about it. They are wonderful and beautiful. We share them on our social media. They are just doing so much great work. I'm trying to figure out the levels still because these are new. I'm sure that I'll get better as as we progress along the next few months. But we're just so excited and we're so grateful to our patrons. Our patrons are such a special, wonderful group of human beings who are always kind, sending us kind words, sending us good vibes, and each month dig into their pockets and send us a little bit of their money. And with that money, we're able to pay some bills and also purchase some really important updates to the studio. And that includes these amazing microphones. So we want to thank Jordan and Carla and Sam and Anne-Marie and Christian and Christina and Kate and Chrissy and Jessica and Jordan and Amanda and Jessica and Britt and Andrea. There's a bunch of repeating names, but they're different people, not the same people over again. We just want to thank you all for your amazing generosity over the course, in particular, of this past year. It's this year, all the funds that we were able to update our studio with a new interface, new microphones, and a new headset. We're so grateful for you. If you'd like to be like these amazing human beings and help the show keep us trugging along, you head on over to patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine for as little as $3 a month. You join the community for as little as $5 a month. You get to get a bonus Patreon exclusive episode every single month that you can listen to on the Patreon app or on Spotify. So do it. We love to have you aboard. If you're looking for other ways to support the show from now until the end of the year, head on over to belowthecollar.com/NYMysteryMachine for our t-shirts. We're moving t-shirts to a new space. So you have until January 1st to purchase your t-shirt on the current setup. After that, we'll have a new home for our t-shirts. And if you don't want to spend any money and you still want to support the show, the best way of doing that is heading over to Apple Podcast, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. Drop us 5 stars. If you can drop us a review, that's even more amazing. Tell the world what you love about the show and why they should also tune in every week to the New York Mystery Machine. Well, I'm excited to get out into it and present a lot of these fun, amazing memories from the New York Mystery Machine in 2023. This first section, I like to call Adam versus Christina. It's a lot of fun moments where Christina and I lovingly butted heads on the show, including this first time where Christina was the mean one of the pair and was mean to a character, and I had to call her out on it. So I hope you enjoy it, and let's get on into it. But in addition to living in a posh home, a great lifestyle, great clothes, great food, she also was given access to Judge Weston's library and became a super huge reader.
Oh.
Started reading everything she can, learned how to read.
Did you say she was a bit of a dork? Sorry.
That's just mean. I just believe it's mean. And it's rare when I'm the nice one on the pod.
I know. I couldn't help myself.
I'm keeping that in.
I know.
In.
So everyone knows that I'm...
That you made a joke about Dorcas. And you called her a dork.
It's right there, Adam.
I want people in 2023 to really re-examine this dynamic. Like, you know what? Maybe Adam is the good one.
Are people saying that you're the mean one?
I assume. When I edit the episodes, I'm like, oh, God, that was a mean thing to say. Why'd I say that? That was a bad joke. Anyway.
Jesse was a teacher at PS 132, and the pair began to go out.
PS 132?
Yeah.
That's like the public school that I grew up like near.
Look at this. All happening right around.
This is a Williamsburg story.
This is a Williamsburg story.
Don't you dare fake it as a Queens story.
Don't worry. The murder happened in Queens.
As they do.
You know.
The peace happens in Williamsburg and the murder happens in Queens.
No. I'm going to go back and I'm going to catalog all the murders. I'm going to do a tally. Anyway.
Murder in Williamsburg? We have not covered a single Williamsburg murder.
Incorrect. Was it Williamsburg? Hold on, let me think about that. Might have been Bed-Stuy. Last year's Valentine's. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. There's plenty of murder in Williamsburg, I'm sure. All I'm gonna do going forward is Williamsburg-based murders, just to prove a point. Sorry, this went down a weird path.
Do you wanna know what we're doing today?
Oh yeah, what are we doing, Adam? I forgot.
Check the fuck back in, Christina. God. Do you know we had a poll last season, and nowhere in the poll did I ask, do you guys like me screaming obscenities at Christina? I think that...
Missed opportunity,
because I'd love to know if that's something you guys really enjoy.
I choose to believe they do.
I choose to believe they do as well. They keep coming back. Coming back for more. Oh, man. Well, that's just what happens when Christina and I... get heated. This next section, I like to just call just simply outrageous moments from the show that had us laughing and had us, you know, just in stitches. Everything from people trying to frame Italians for murder to the legendary Bigfoot, who may or may not hang out outside of schoolhouse windows. And then why would he leave? It's so dumb. It's the stupidest thing.
This is like tear it. Like what? Not even like a full paper. Like
right.
There wasn't a full paper there. And here's a piece here, and here's a piece here, and here's a piece here. We were looking at different pieces.
Yeah. Why would they bring Italian newspapers when they're killing a to burglarize or kill a person.
In strips. Right? Like little like you're saying, bits and pieces.
It is as stupid as we cover a lot of stuff on this show. This is the stupidest thing I've it's like a stupid detail that like the most detailed thing you didn't ever need. It's
right.
Like, it's like, this is how you get caught. Because you spent your time thinking, all right, let's...
They're never going to believe it was an Italian. Hold on. What if we have...
So they're like, they don't do the work to like cover all their stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they find the ticket in his hotel room, all these things. But instead of thinking of like the most logical things to do, they're like, all right, we really need to make this story work. Are we going to go to the Italians? Let's go to the Italians.
Yeah.
Big Italians, great. Oh, I don't know what a big Italians, what are they like? Oh, they like to read from like Italy. They probably want their home news. They want OG today. Because that's what you get. That's what the newspaper in Italy, OG. Let's get the OGs. Stupidest.
It is. It's ludicrous.
Stupidest. I want to applaud them, but I want to slap them. They really were like they wanted to commit to the bit.
Yeah.
But it was the most stupid bit.
Yeah. They didn't do the best job of actually collecting. They were great at getting in. Great at that.
Yeah, which was like not their idea.
Right.
Like that they were good at the stuff that the other guy came up with, but not the stuff that they needed to do when they got there.
Yep.
That they didn't have someone to tell them what to do.
Yep. That's why don't shoot.
Don't shoot
the head
like,
honcho the, of your the, heist.
Don't shoot the king of heists if you need to do a heist.
Yeah.
You shouldn't manage a heist, maybe.
Right. That's up to you.
Or just let him shtup your wife and call it a day.
Right. Let's be honest. That guy was probably also shtupping somebody else's way. Yeah, let's be real about the time.
Everyone's stupid these days. Yeah. Let's not get into it.
Don't stoop to their level. No, okay, never mind.
Oh, gosh. Well...
That's the Great Bank Heist of 1878.
Can you imagine you're sitting in school? The teacher's like, and of course, 6 + 2 = 8. And all of a sudden, it's like,
oh, what's that?
Fuck? What's that? What's that thing whistling outside the window?
Yeah.
Oh, no! Run!
So apparently 200 men tried to find the quote-unquote wild man.
All these crowds of people running down the road.
That's I love it. Thing.
Find the beast.
That's exactly what it is.
Kill
That's
the
exactly
beast.
What it is.
Kill the beast.
Crazy old Maurice, eh?
If I was a beast, that's all I would definitely just hang out and wait for them to find me, for sure.
Are
Show.
They yeah. a witch?
Are they a witch? And it can be called, is she a witch or a bitch?
What?
And that's particularly apt because our next story involves a woman who is considerably cantankerous, apparently.
It's like, I don't know, you guys. It's like her friends are like, you guys, she's not a witch. She's kind of a bitch.
She's kind of a bitch.
It's cool. She's down with that. Call her a bitch all you want. She's down with that. Don't call women bitches, okay?
Don't do that.
It's really not an okay thing to say. It's degrading. If anything, just call them witches.
Just call them a witch. Totally not degrading.
Oh, gosh. Well, that game is not sweeping America at all. But here's the thing, you guys. We know why you tune into the show. This is not true. I can't even like, say it without like laughing at myself saying it. I just needed a good way to segue into this next section, which is the most ludicrous section of the whole episode, which is impressions. Okay. Our impressions / accents / characters / voices. And this is a doozy. This is what I believe to be the heart of the show and the heart of this episode in particular. Regardless of what people say about our accents, Sam, we think that we shouldn't, just because they're not good, that shouldn't stop you from listening to them all together in succession. So here are some of the best character moments of the show, the best impressions and best little bits that we did in 2023. Oh, God. I'm sorry, you guys. Always sorry in advance. We're sorry in advance for people from the places that we do voices from. We're so sorry, but we are equal opportunity offenders for everybody. So it's common ground. Oh boy, here we go. And policeman Brinkin Noble headed down there and learned that the suspect's real name, as we know, was Richard P. Robinson, a young clerk who lived in a boarding house at 42 Day Street, about half a mile south of the brothel. And they arrived there about 7 in the morning.
Okay. For the record, I would absolutely watch a buddy cop show called Brinkin Noble.
Oh my God, yeah. Brinkin Noble. Oh, Noble.
Brink it again. What do you want, Brink?
Brink it again. No, I think Brink is probably the
gritty.
I think Noble's the gritty guy.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Okay.
So he'd be like, oh, Brink.
Ah, what do you want, Noble?
We're done it again. We're in it now.
Ah,
I'm getting too old for this shit. And in this case, clearly, Noble's being played by Danny Glover. According to Larry, the hipster ghost, everything inside the Chelsea Hotel is real. Walk outside the hotel's doors, and then you enter the illusion.
Oh, God, that would be something Larry says.
Fucking Larry.
Larry the hipster ghost. I was going
to... Hey, guys. Here's my album, if you want to check that out. I also have this cool blog. Just saying.
I've been a ghost here since, like, before it was cool.
Yeah. Like, they call me the hipster ghost, but, like, I was, like, a ghost here. And then, like, other ghosts came. And so it's not my fault that, like, I built up the ghost community here, and so now it's a little bit more pricey to be a ghost here. But like, that's just what happens when you move into a neighborhood and you want to like do something good for that neighborhood. you have to change the times. Oh. Larry the hipster ghost is gonna be my new ghost.
I was gonna say, I feel like we have a new voice.
The times. It's fine, and you know, it's like I always say, sometimes the sun has to shine. Anyway.
When you leave here, that's the illusion. God, Larry.
I know. I know many a Larry the hipster ghost.
Yeah. We all know Larry the hipster ghost. That's incredible. The other theory is that it might be Cosmos 96, which is a Russian probe.
Oh. Cosmos 96. Sounds like a
possible thing. Great band.
A great band.
Sounds like the Veiled Murderess. And
it's like, but it's an all Russian band. Hello, we are Cosmos 66. Anyway, this is Wonderwall.
I would go see that doubleheader. That would be a great opening act for
The Veiled Murderess and Cosmos 66 at a New York Mystery Machine Fest.
Incredible.
We're building up for a new shirt.
There you go.
In 2024, you guys.
The Cosmos 96 was a Soviet Venus probe that was malfunctioning at the time. And a Soviet Venus probe is what it sounds like. It's a Soviet spacecraft that was designed to get to Venus, have a little flyby, do a little investigation of the planet. And apparently, according to this theory, the probe failed to exit low Earth orbit after launch and eventually came crashing back down. But others say that the speed and incline were the wrong measurements to have been a re-entering spacecraft. And in fact, there is some evidence that an investigative reporter found that the Cosmos 96 crashed in Canada around 3:18 a.m. So the timeline is similar, but it doesn't line up with what's being seen here. One suggestion that's crazy.
We love a crazy suggestion.
Is the object was a Nazi bell, which if I didn't ever hear
what's
of.
A Nazi bell?
Great question, Adam. A Nazi bell is apparently a world.
Nazi bell sounds like a Third Reich entertainer.
It does.
Hello, I'm Nazi Bell. So one guy shouts, hey lady, what are you doing here? The women,
he grew up in Brooklyn, now he's in Syracuse.
He's in Syracuse. The woman remains seated. Another guy yells, we're closed! Can we help you? With enough heckling, the woman finally left her seat with her dress trailing behind her, walked up the steps, and exited the balcony through a wall.
Through a wall, like you do.
Like you do.
I also love that she took some heckling first. Like they kept going. They just had to keep shouting at her.
Like, stop shouting at me. What are you doing here?
She thought at first it was just part of the act, and she's like, oh no. Oh.
Is this the part? This is not part of the show. I don't know why she's British. Is it part of the show? Why she's like from like a Cockney British. This Cockney British person is now haunting the Syracuse Theater. It not part of the show, them yelling at me. Bugger that. I also want to say, you've said the phrase Pascal the Undertaker a lot, and all I think about when you say Pascal the Undertaker is like the WWE wrestler the Undertaker, but a very Italian version of him. It was like, ah, you win the West, I didn't the piece. And he's like, instead of wearing a black trench coat, yeah, it's like the Italian flag. It's like green, white, and red.
I would absolutely watch the hell out of this.
And instead of the low brim hat, it's like an Italian chef's cap instead.
Incredible. Incredible. That's, this is what I want.
If someone can draw me the Pasqua the Undertaker in the style of the WWE wrestler The Undertaker, that would be something that my heart would be so happy about.
Please someone do this.
Artists of the world.
We need you.
It's me, the Undertaker. You will arrest I in the piece.
So.
And he buries you in pizza. And so when he says rest in the pizza, it's in the pizza.
Right. It's literally in the pizza.
Huh? Mr. McLaughlin, you no doubt recall how you framed Bonita Bischoff on March 9, 1923, causing her to be convicted for vagrancy. She is now riding to tell you that she is going to appear before the Vice Commission to tell the whole story. She leaves the rest of your imagination, which she hopes is as good as it was when you concocted those lies about her in court, BFB.
Thank you very much.
What's PFB?
That's her. It's Bonita F. Bischoff. It's her legal name.
Oh, Bonita's letter, not Vivian's letter.
It is Vivian. So Vivian, her birth name is Bonita, but she goes by Vivian Gordon.
Naturally.
Like you do.
Thanks. Thanks, old Southern gentleman. You're welcome.
That's what I was waiting for.
I said you're welcome.
Vivian also sent a letter to her ex-husband who had remarried in the intervening years and lived in New Jersey, Adam. I think we have an old-timey prospector.
Oh, the old prospector. You know that my conviction has caused my frame between you and Detective McLaughlin. You think you may have the last laugh, but get this. I'm going before the investigation committee this week and intend to tell them the whole dirty frame up. When I'm through with it, it'll just be too bad for you. Lil' Bonita is old enough now to realize the dirty little trick has been played on me. I intend to go the limit, and you know as well as I do this means you're finished. They're all Southern, really.
Yeah, there's a through line to the various characters. Now, these letters were sent 3 weeks prior to her sending a letter to the Seabury Commission, again against her lawyer's counsel. Here's the letter she wrote to the commission, dated February 7th, 1931. Quick nota bene, it's addressed to a guy named Kressel, who was the right-hand man of Seabury. Adam?
Well, this one then has to be our latest fave, the who we learned about in season 2, Larry the Hipster Ghost. Dear Mr. Kressel, I have some information in connection with a frame-up by a police officer and others, which I believe will be of great aid to your committee and its work. I would appreciate an interview at your earliest convenience. Yours truly, Vivian Gordon.
Thank you, Larry.
Also, like, I just think that the entire frame and structure of criminology in the United States really needs a good look into, not because it's unjust, just because I think we could be doing more on a spiritual level. I think we all are these vessels for human emotion, and if we just concentrate that emotion into justice will be like a bird in the sky just soaring above us. All right.
You lost me there, Larry.
Thanks, Larry. Thanks for, like, that weird thing, son. Well, episode 100!
people just tuning in are like, what the fuck?
Why did I start episode 100, you said?
Yeah.
In his book, Life of the Dakota, author Stephen Birmingham wrote the following of the little girl. Quote, A beautiful blonde child suddenly appeared in the corridor, wearing high white stockings, patent leather shoes and silver buckles, and a dress of yellow taffeta that seemed to come from another century. She was also bouncing a red ball. "It's my birthday," she said, and still bouncing her ball, she disappeared down the corridor. She's not British, but all the girls are always British.
All the girls, yeah, 100%.
It's my birthday.
Also, any creepy little girl bouncing a red ball in a corridor, absolutely British.
Thump, 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 thump. Hello, it's my birthday.
I hate it. I don't like creepy little children that are bouncing balls.
Even though you birthed one.
I'd like to believe that she will not grow up to be a complete creep and creepily say in hallways with the red ball,
It's my
birthday.
It's my birthday.
Oi.
Oi.
Please, sir, I want some more.
All I want is Tammy to grow up to be a creepy little girl.
A creepy little urchin girl.
And have a weird Cockney accent, yeah, for some reason.
100%. If any kid in it's New York City kid is, who's going to have a it's my kid.
For some strange reason, because you use weird accents, she's like, I just think that's how I speak. Me mom sounds like this, yeah.
Where's your mom from? Queens.
Queens. Like queen, like the queen's, like Queen's Court.
Queen's Court. I need a checklist from you from what doth make a haunting.
Oh, that'd be an interesting checklist. We can work on that.
Yeah.
It's like, just it has some vibrations. I'm pretty sure that's haunted. All right. Great.
It's just reading, you know, it was a little vibe
check. Any
other
evidence? No, it's just a vibe check.
Vibes are off.
Vibes are off, man.
Larry?
Hey, man, you guys, vibes are actually not, vibes are vibrations, right? Like, so he's not wrong. Like, he's not wrong to say that, like, there's vibes, right? All right, go back to Chelsea, Larry.
This is in your building.
This is in your building, Larry. Irving was born and raised in Manhattan to a merchant family. He made his literary debut in 1802 with a series of observational letters to the Morning Chronicle, written under the pseudonym Jonathan Oldstyle.
Is observational letters to the Morning Chronicle like the Jeffrey Seinfeld observational humor of 1802?
What's the deal with these horse and carriage?
What's the deal with these horse and carriages? What's the deal?
What is a carriage? Is it carrying or is it raging? What's it doing? Then the door opens. I've had enough with the horse and carriages. No more. Have we done Seinfeld? We've done this before.
Have we?
I think we've done this because Sam made fun of me because she thinks my Seinfeld impressions are terrible. Then Elaine comes in.
It's keep going.
Well, guess what happened to the horse and carriage downstairs? I just want to imagine watching Irvin as Jerry Seinfeld. Oh, God. There was a man who had a duck, a white duck. He lived in Woodside, that not over fashionable suburb of New York on Long Island. One summer evening, it was around the 4th of July in 1897, the duck came tottering home in a condition which amazed her owner and made him rub his eyes. Could this be the sunset glow, or had it something to do with the approach of Independence Day? For the ordinarily white and stainless breast of Julia, his well-behaved duck was crimson, incarnadined, red with blood. The man examined her closely. There was no mistake. Although the summer night he pondered until a thought came to him. In the morning, when he liberated Julia to her diversions, he followed her on a tiptoe. In a few moments, she was quacking merrily as she entered a small pond, and a mystery had been solved. A mystery which had been giving the great William Randolph Hearst chronic insomnia. For the murder house had been discovered. Mr. Hearst's men and the New York police came piling over to Woodside, and everyone achieved fame. Everyone except Julia and her owner. Now number one on the charts, Wonderwall. Oh, Lord. All right. We are going to take a quick break and we will be back with more of the best of the New York Mystery Machine from 2023. It's not the best, you guys. It's probably like the adequate of the New York Mystery Machine from 2023. We'll be right back. The New York Mystery Machine is brought to you in part by listeners like you.
That's right. Head on over to our Patreon, and for as little as $3 a month, you can help keep the pod growing.
By joining, you can access a whole bunch of cool stuff, such as mini episodes, swag, exclusive playlists, and more.
Head to www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine to find out more and become a patron.
That's www.patreon.com/NYMysteryMachine and join our ever-growing community today. Okay, we are back, and we are jumping right back into your favorite section of this episode by far, impressions and characters. This one quickly became, I think it's a cult favorite now. You know, the small, like, you know, grouping of people who actually like when we do crazy things. But this one had us laughing so much.
So apparently the dog appeared 3 times, and on the 3rd time, the dog, well, Adam... Would you like to read as the dog with Catherine's head?
With Catherine's? Wait. So
this is the dog that appeared on Mary Hale's chest, growling at her 3 times. And on the 3rd time, it appeared with Catherine's head.
Okay.
And says this.
Row, row. I can't even get it out.
I was going to say, the rest of this conversation in that voice, I can't wait.
You said that I would not come again. You are not afraid of me.
And Mary said, no.
I will make you afraid of me before I am done with you.
And at this point, the dog began to crush Mary.
Ow!
Apparently, Mary spent some time struggling trying to call her parents for help. And then the dog said,
though you do call, they shall not hear me till I am gone. You said I have preserved my cart to carry me to the gallows, but to you, I will make it a death cart. Oh!
So apparently, apparently this was what Mary had previously said privately to her sister. So this is knowledge outside of the dog Catherine's presence. And then Mary says, I fear not, because God will keep me.
I have commission to kill you, Mary.
Who gave you commission?
God did, Mary.
The devil's a liar from the very beginning, for God will not give commission to murder. Therefore, it must be from the devil.
You will make these events known broad, but if you keep it a secret, I will no longer afflict you. Ow, ow! Woof, woof, woof.
And apparently, Mary responded by saying she was going to tell everybody. And you know what my favorite part of this exchange is now that we've done it? Is that the creature's voice was apparently the same as Catherine Harrison's. So we have to believe that that's exactly what Catherine Harrison sounded like.
That's right. Yeah.
I love it.
That's
what you're going for.
In life, I think that she's just happened to sound like a dog. Ow!
Catherine Harrison, how dare you slander me and my wife?
Dog voices are
fun. We have reason to believe that you were a witch.
It's either witch or dog, and I don't think. I mean, I never met a talking dog.
Was she a witch or a bitch?
Full circle! Witch or a bitch? In the case of Catherine Harrison, widow, blah, 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 who was bound to be good behavior? Who was bound to the good behavior upon complaint of some of the inhabitants of Westchester until holding of this court, it is ordered that in regard there is nothing appears against her deserving the countenance of that obligation, she is to be released from it, and hath liberty to remain in the town of Westchester, where she now resides, or anywhere else in the government during her pleasure. Francis! Lovelace.
I like that you can hear the flourish of the quill. You know?
See, I find that I do most of my best work when I don't lead the episode, when it's a Christina episode, then I just get to like spread my wings and fly. I think that's all of our impressions and accents for this episode. I'm sure there's plenty others that we missed, but those were some of our favorites. But for now, let's go into some more ludicrous moments from this season, this year, because Lord, there were other ludicrous, crazy moments of us yelling.
The judge asked if she had anything to say, to which she replied, quote, "Yes, a great deal to say, but I do not wish to be interrupted. I have been the victim of a conspiracy of you politicians at Albany." At which point she was indeed interrupted and told to be quiet by her by her own counsel.
It's like, actually, don't you shut the fuck up? We lost!
So there is a newspaper report, too, that says in the conversation she had with...
I was thinking about people like, listen to this podcast, kids, and pick where you want to go.
Shut the fuck up!
We're so sorry to any
Real
of you
sorry, folks.
Who listen to this in the car with the kids. I'm so sorry, kids, but they're going to learn one day.
Yeah, you know.
Unfortunately, for the philanderer lucky enough to encounter the lovely lady with a rose, she is also visible to others, including his wife, if she happens to be present.
Oh,
meaning, bold. If you are visited, your wife will know that you are having an affair.
It's like a spiritual mood ring. It's a phantom mood ring.
A mood ring? How's it a mood ring?
Like, it turns color if you... are thinking something, and so if I don't know,
only,
I don't know. I
only
don't know.
It just it outs your wife that you're cheating.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a mood ring, but nothing like a mood ring.
It's like, honey, I love you so much. We're gonna spend our lives together. Whoa! Ooh. Are you cheating on me, you fucker? How? No, she only appears, Larry. She only appears to people who fucking cheat on their wives. Probably a mistake. Is this a mistake? No. Oh, man. And as we start to wrap up our journey together for this year's best of, and again, we use best of very lightly. Put those in the biggest quotes that you can put. Imagine Christina saying best of, but not being able to see her put air quotes because she always does that. She puts air quotes around things when she's in the studio thinking that you guys can see it, but you guys can't see it. But without any further ado, how can we do a best of without talking about all the wonderful musical moments of 2023? And it's unfortunate because there are a lot of fun musical moments in 2022 that we never get to cover, but maybe that's for a bigger best of episode. But for 2023, there were a few fun musical numbers.
And that's the story of our veiled murderess. We still don't know who she is.
And here's to you, Henrietta Robinson. The veiled murderess is in fact you. Ooh. What's that you say, Henrietta Robinson? Put some sugar in your beer. It'll taste better that way. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey, hey.
He was a boy and she was a girl, and maybe he murdered her. Gotta sing, sing.
Pulitzer and Hearst, they think they're nothing. Are we nothing? No. Pulitzer and Hearst, they think they got us. Do they got us? No. Will, na-na-na-na-na-na-na. Until we break the will of mighty Bill and Joe. And the world will know. And the joint will too. Mr. Hearst and Pulitzer, have we got news for you? And the world will see. I don't know the rest. That we got a ton of rotten fruit and perfect dame. Come then and hear of the cannibal of Ocelots.
It's going to be a sensation. It's going to take
he
over.
He had no time but a craving for lots of flesh. He murdered and said that he did it in defense. But what he did will make the people wince.
Oh, all right. That's what Ryan's getting there.
He's Oscar the Cannibal. The Cannibal of Ocelots. Oscar the Cannibal. The Cannibal of Ocelots. Bum, 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 bum.
People are going to poke at this all across the country.
Oh, man, you guys. Okay, if we're being honest, the last one, that was a 2022 song, but I just couldn't not play it. It was just a fun memory, and I really wanted to share it on the show. So it was 2023 and one 2022 memory, but it was worth it because people should hear the great polka of Oscar the Cannibal of Austerlitz. That is it for this fun little trip down memory lane for the 2023 quote-unquote best of the New York Mystery Machine. As always, we love for you to like, follow, share, subscribe, all the things that you can do. Follow us on the Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook at NY Mystery Machine, on X at NY Mysteries. Be sure to like, subscribe. What else you got to do? Yeah, like, subscribe, and leave 5 stars and reviews on all the places you can do that. We're back all new next week with another brand new episode of the New York Mystery Machine. And we're counting down. We have some fun Christmas episode coming down the pipe as well. So we're not done for the year yet, you guys. We still have some more. This was just a little treat. So we are back all new next week. And guess who's back in the studio? You know her. You love her. Christina. She'll be back all next week as well. So that's exciting. And I'll leave you with one final memory of 2023. And that is the hardest thing I've ever had to put together, which is the episode 100 We Didn't Start the Fire parody song. So I'll leave you with that. If you want to take another listen to that wonderful piece of art that I put together in honor of our episode 100. I've been Adam Mace. Christina's with us next week, but she's always with us in spirit. We love you, Christina. We love you, little David. We hope you're up in that great pet heaven with Tedward, just, you know, doing crazy pet stuff as pets do. Thank you for taking a ride on the New York Mystery Machine. Tammany Hall, but for the ghosts. Murder in Manhattan, well, aliens, Le Duc Cartel, Stranger Things in Montauk is a dwarfing. Spooky Popper, Schultz's treasure, Son of Sam, Police pressured, Richard Seacock's House of Death, Champy doesn't sing. Olive is a friendly ghost, UFOs at Pine Bush host, Sweet Hollow, Frank is gone, and Theodosia's swan song. Merchant House is creepy, witch is also sneaky, Cats Ghost Ripper, Thanksgiving murders, Dorothy and Lennon. We didn't solve those mysteries, we just report them, it's up to you to sort them. We didn't solve those mysteries, it's our job to tell them, not to dispel them. Alice Parsons, Christmas Dread, Morris Jumel, Captain Kidd, Ain't It Scary, Sean and Carrie, Roosevelt Isle. Old Shakes, Crater Flakes, Flow Will Kill You, Gringo Scrapes, Odyssey, Study Group, get them all on trial. Graves Robbed, Easter Green, Molly's Ghost, Just Won't Leave, Conspiracy, Publishing, 9/11, One Missing, Agent, FBI, Melrose Plastics, Where She Died, Shanley Shack, Men in Black, Way Too Much of Hazel Drew. We didn't solve those mysteries, just report them, it's up to you to sort them. We didn't solve those mysteries, it's our job to tell them, not to dispel them. Bill McKinley, Stanford White, Jersey Devil, Marcia Pridery, Cat Amity, Horror and Calamity, Spencer S, Esther F, History Museum, Theft, Fox Sisters, Bunch of Lies, soothingly all sad demise. Joel Rifkin, Mad Bomber, Kreischer and Home, Harvey Bardell, St. John's Ghost, Juliet, 57th Street Unit, Murder in Cherry Hill, Hungry Lucy, Cannibal, Mary Roger, Ghost Train, Sagamore is insane. We didn't solve those mysteries, we just report them, it's up to you to sort them. We didn't solve those mysteries, it's our job to tell them, not to dispel them. Dave Belasco, Empress, Stranger Knocks at Christmas, Jewett, Hellgate, Lonely Hearts, Killings, Murder of Bob Albertsider, 12K Street, Ghosts Are Dire, L.I. Monster, Harris Missing Murder, Sackett Street Terror, Nexium's Errors, Sarah Eastland, Rainieri, a story that we told in 3. We didn't solve those mysteries, we just report, it's up to you to sort them. We didn't solve those mysteries, it's our job to tell them, not to dispel them. Bang High, 7 Men, Aaron Burr is it's back again. Nikki C, dead body in car. OMG, bail, murderous Kristen. Oh, Axe is no way to go. Hipster Larry and Chelsea, Camden Michael missing. Luggage at the Marriott, torso killer needs to rot. Bigfoot pants, more aliens, baseball, go see friends. Genevieve's friendly, Sivus unit friendly, and early cult a missing father. Now it's time for Tammany. We didn't solve those mysteries. We just report, it's up to you to sort them. We didn't solve those mysteries. But when we're gone, they'll still go. Just rip.